So I trust that you are enjoying and benefiting from our current series of Together on Mission. So far, we've looked at the type of church that is formed as we go on mission together, that is an army. And last week, Alan highlighted that we are a covenant community as we go on mission together. This week, I want to focus on how groups of churches work together with a shared vision and shared values to become an apostolic people group. So to do that, I first want to look at what an apostle is that would lead such a group and what they do. And secondly, I want to apply that to us locally here as we are in a new season of being part of Regions Beyond, led by Steve Oliver and Ray Lowe. Now, last Saturday, we were at our monthly prayer breakfast, and I wanted to pray for apostolic mission. But as I was starting to form those words, I also thought I was going to say the word apostle. But instead of either of those words came out, I said apple. Now, people have not let me forget that this week. So if by some random thing I say the word apple during the sermon, you know exactly what I'm referring to. Unless I am referring to a green fruit. I don't think I am, but it might come up. Now, in any human organisation, people need to be organised and to give people the authority to organise them. Otherwise, there would be disorder, there would be chaos. And if you hadn't noticed, that's what we've been going through this week in this country, when we've been appointing people to lead us. So whatever your view on politics, we need, as a community, we need governance, we need leadership. And we need that leadership also within the church. And God is aware of that and has blessed us and provided gifts to the church to help us to grow in maturity. And those gifts are listed in Ephesians 4. So I'll just read that out to you. It's on the screen there as well. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. What a fantastic thing God has done in giving us these gifts. And the Ephesians 4 ministries may be ones that you've heard about for years and years and years. Those that have been around for quite some time, our Bibles used to open naturally either to Acts 2 or to Ephesians 4, because that becomes such a common teaching within the church community. And it's something that's still been around, but we haven't focused on it so much in recent years. So the He in this passage is Christ. If you read before that, we know it's talking about Christ. But it's not specifically, it's the ascended Christ. It's the Christ who's gone back to heaven, has now released these gifts to his people, the church. And these are commonly called the fivefold ministries that are found in Ephesians 4. So the Ephesians 4, fivefold ministries, it trips off the tongue, doesn't it? But the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, the fivefold ministries helping the church to bring the church into maturity. So those gifts are given to the church to equip the church, to help us become mature and to grow up and enjoy the fullness of Christ for ourselves. And this morning I want to focus on that the first one that's listed there, the apostolic, the gift of the apostle that's given to the church. So first, let's define what is an apostle. It's not a word that we hear about in everyday speech. But in the New Testament, the word that's used literally means one who is sent. It's a delegate, an envoy, a messenger that is sent out in someone else's authority with a particular message that's going to affect other people. It's a sent one. Now, sometimes I send my daughter to tell my teenage son to do something. I might send her upstairs and say to my son, can you put the rubbish out? Now, if she trots upstairs and says, can you put the rubbish out? My teenage son would just, don't be silly. So I have learned what you must do is you must authorize my daughter. So I say to my daughter, right, go upstairs and say to my son, say, Daddy says, could you put the rubbish out? Now, it doesn't always work. Parents among us will know that. But it's got a better chance of working because I'm sending her, she's going in my name. It's as if I am standing there saying, please put rubbish out. And that's what this word apostle kind of is referring to. It's someone who's sent with authority. So who is sent? Who are the apostles that we read about in the New Testament? The first one. Any guesses? Okay. It's a trick question. Because that's it. Jesus is always the right answer, isn't it, Andrew? Jesus is the great apostle. That's the first person we think about. Someone who is sent with authority, with a message sent out by God. And he is always the greatest. He is always the best one. Whenever we consider roles within the church, be it shepherd or pastor, we see that Jesus is the best example. He is the good shepherd. He is the best king. He is the true great high priest. And it gives us something to aim for. But he is the perfect one. He is the example. He is, as Hebrews says, the author and the perfecter of our faith. He's the one that we are to follow. So he is the great apostle. Hebrews says, fix your thoughts on Jesus, who we acknowledge as our apostle and our high priest. He's always the best one. And he's been sent by God with a message of hope, with a message of salvation to save the world because God so loved us. He sent Christ. So Christ holds that unique position as an apostle sent by God. We also read of the 12 apostles. 12 men chosen by Jesus to accompany him in his ministry. And they were first-hand witnesses of his resurrection as well. And as we read through the New Testament, we see that Paul is kind of added to that number as an apostle. But even he says he's one that's abnormally bold. He doesn't go through the same process that the other apostles have done. And there's a real significance to there being 12. It reflects back to the 12 tribes of Israel. And it looks forward to the New Jerusalem that's founded on the names of those 12 apostles, as we read at the end of Revelation. So we have Jesus, we have the 12. But the New Testament also refers to other apostles. These are apostles of the ascension, so apostles appointed after Christ has gone back to heaven. They may not have spent all the 3 years with Jesus, they may not have seen the resurrection. They weren't part of that inner 12 that Jesus had put together. But they have been appointed and sent by God with a mission and a purpose to help build the church and see Christ glorified. An example would be Barnabas, James, who was the leader of the apostles in Jerusalem, although he didn't believe in Jesus during his lifetime, Andronicus and Junius in Romans 17, and also Silas, as referred to as apostle once or twice. So God, in his generous nature, is always giving gifts to the church. He's always giving and equipping the church. And whether we name someone an apostle, whether we realize what God is doing, God, in his grace, is giving these gifts to the church. And it's commonly thought that it is the apostles who wrote the Bible for us. Now, we use that as our foundational document. And some did, although not all the writers of the New Testament were apostles. So Luke, for instance, Luke wrote his book, the Gospel of Luke and Acts, but he is not an apostle. And I feel that sometimes in the modern day, there can be a slight hesitancy if we consider apostles today. Are we then saying that they are going to be writing scripture? No, of course we're not. The scripture is closed, it's secure, it's there, it's our bedrock, it's what we build church on. It is the apostolic revelation, but we can still have men who are gifts who can help us lay that foundation and build on what God has already done. And these gifts are given to the church, as we read in Ephesians, until we have reached full maturity. Now, I'm sure that you feel you have reached maturity in your Christian life. I know I haven't, but I think maybe you do feel that. But until that is done, we still need these gifts. We still want to receive these gifts with thankfulness from God, because we want to become mature in Christ, to reach that full measure that he is helping us to get to. And we are to be received and to be grateful that for those gifts. I have whizzed through quite a bit of stuff there. I'm aware of that. If you want to read more about the apostolic gift, I'd want to recommend Dave Devenish's book, which is an excellent book, but I think it wins the prize with the most unrememberable title. Whenever you mention this book to people, people are like, oh yeah, Dave Devenish's book, Fathering, what is it? And no one can remember the title. It is an excellent book, but Fathering Leaders, Motivating Mission, it's not a great title. I think even Dave recognises that now. But if you're interested in reading more about the apostolic gift, please, I would recommend the book, and hopefully they may re-release it with a different title at some point. So what does an apostle do? As we look at the New Testament, we see most about the apostle working by looking at Peter and Paul. Peter is said to be an apostle to the circumcised, that's the Jews, whereas Paul is an apostle to the Gentiles. So the things that an apostle may be doing is to bring the big picture, to ensure that we are caught up in the big picture of what God is doing and what God is about. They bring the revelation of the overall plans of God to the world. So if we just consider the beginning of Ephesians, the first three chapters of Paul's letter to the Ephesian church, let me just run through some of the things he touches on. This is the apostle giving the big picture. He says, there is a God of grace. We were once dead, but now we're alive in Christ. God is bringing everything under one head of Christ. Believers are going to receive the Holy Spirit, which empower them for godly living and guarantee our future. The church has a significant role in bringing about God's kingdom here on earth. The cross has broken the barrier between God and man, and also divisions between people groups. That's just three chapters. The Apostle Paul is trying to show people the greatness of God, the wonder of his revelation, and what he's doing and his purposes now for us here on earth to go forward in the mission that he has for us. It's an amazing condensation of things down within those first three chapters. Secondly, an apostle established churches. We are all called to make disciples of all nations. And a great way of doing that is planting churches. And Paul uses various methods for planting churches. Sometimes he travels around in a team and kind of plants a church and keeps traveling. Other times he stays in a place, like in Ephesus. He stays there for a number of years. He sets up a business. He works there. He lectures there. And church planting happens in that situation. So Paul says, by the grace that God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, or as a master builder. An apostle is laying foundations into a church. Others build upon it, but we must take care and remember that Christ, the first apostle, he is the one that's already laid. He is the cornerstone, as it mentions in other verses. So he's the expert builder, laying foundations. And many of his letters are helping young churches to bring corrections where they haven't done things quite right, to straighten things out. And they still help us today as we look to build a church. And as part of that foundation laying, appointing elders in the church is another great thing that an apostle does. And when Paul writes to Timothy and Titus, he uses great chunks to kind of help those young people decide how to appoint elders in a particular church? What are they looking for? What qualities should they have? And it's great that we are having just next week Ray Lowe with us, who will be appointing Taiwo to join the team of elders here. We can get excited about that, and I want to encourage you this week. Can you be praying, please? Can you be praying for Taiwo and Tayo and the family and Ray as he comes? But this is a real encounter with God. And as Taiwo comes upon the team of elders here, we really go forward in the purposes God has for us as a community. So teachings we get from the Bible, laid down by those first apostles, and now they are relayed in churches by the apostles as they come round. Foundations are vitally important, but they're not very beautiful. You don't pay money to go and see the foundations at Durham Cathedral or Durham Castle. You might go to the castle, you might like the Great Hall or the gardens or the courtyard at the front, but you don't pay money to then go and see the foundations. But without the foundations, and I guess big foundations in a place like that, nothing else would exist. We need those foundations laid. And some of you who were here as we kind of moved into this building 6 years ago, will remember that we had a day called Foundations Day. And that wasn't where we got a load of people to dig up some concrete, although that would have helped at some points. But Foundations Day was a day before this was built upon. It was just concrete floor here. And we invited the church to come along and to paint and draw promises of God on the very floor that you are now sitting on, standing, the floor here. So underneath your feet, under these tiles, are prophetic words. There are Bible verses. There are pictures. There are footprints of children who are now teenagers, but were kids at the time. And that we've laid that as a foundation here. And we're now living in the fullness of the promises of those foundations as we see God do amazing things through us as a community. An apostle also fathers churches. As well as planting churches, he gives that ongoing care and becomes like a father to the church, modelling servant leadership. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4 that there are not many fathers in Christ, but I became a father for you through the gospel. Paul carries concerns for the church. He is involved in church. He knows people. He knows situations. And many of Paul's letters reflect those concerns. His concern when people have an argument, when relationships break down. And he addresses them as one who cares for them, as a father cares. An apostle also brings a vision for nations. We can all too easily just get focused on what is around us. But an apostle has that vision for the nations and helps raise our eyes from what we are just involved in here and looks to what God has in store for us to the nations, the promises to the nations and to the ends of the world. When he writes a church in Rome, he's speaking about going on to Spain. He wants that desire to go on to Spain somewhere else because he's burning with this gospel message that is going forward. An apostle also remembers the poor. The gospel is good news for the poor. And when Paul met with the other apostles to have his message, his gospel kind of confirmed by them, the one condition they laid on him, which he was always really happy to remember, was always remember the poor. Because we're able to reflect the compassionate heart for God as we as individuals share the resources we have, both to individuals and to churches that God has provided for us. We can bless others and look after, concerned for the poor. So that's what an apostle does. Do we need them? A quote from John Hosier. If new churches are going to be planted, if we're going to reach every people group, as Jesus said, if churches are going to be well established, and if wise and godly leaders are to be raised up, then we need the apostolic ministry. It is the ascended Christ who gives such a gift. We do well to recognize it gladly and receive the ministry of the apostle that Christ sends to the church. So how has that worked out here? I'm aware we may have some guests this morning, so please forgive me if I speak about our history, our story. But I do hope it is something that is encouraging for you to hear of our journey. So let's look back in history. In the UK, during the 60s and the 70s, a long time before I was born, I read in the history books there was something called the Charismatic Renewal, a fresh passion to see the baptism of the Spirit and the gifts released to the church, a fresh foundation of grace, and an embracing of these Ephesians 4 ministries, and particularly the role of an apostle. And there was a gentleman called Terry Virgo, who was living down in Brighton at that time, and he began to have a number of churches that asked him for help, and to help them in these fresh things that God was doing, like baptism of the Spirit and gifts of the Spirit coming. And he was happy to do that, and churches began to join him, and they began to recognize that, well, Terry, you read about an apostle, but you know, you are doing the role. You are an apostle to us. And Terry became an apostle and started a group of churches, which we now call New Frontiers. There's also another young gentleman called Ray Lowe, based down in the southeast of London, who was doing a similar thing and joined up to be part of Terry's team. And Ray first came to us as a church here 20 years ago, this November. 20 years Ray has been involved with us, and Ray's been such a father to the church here. He knows so many people in the church, and as we know him, we know and love him. And I believe we are the only eldership that he serves where none of the elders play golf. That's the one thing he's never managed to change amongst the eldership here. Most of his other elders are golf players. But as time goes on, we realise that Terry Virgo and the whole New Frontiers group of churches, he's not going to live forever. So what happens with succession? What happens next for this group of churches? Was there going to be one person who Terry would appoint and he'll become the leader, the apostle of New Frontiers? Or was there a different way of doing things? Well, over the last 5 or 6 years or so, it's been a different way. Because Terry has gathered the people who are working worldwide who have their own ministry of churches, looking after churches, caring for churches, and he has released them to become their own apostles, to set up their own apostolic family to work with those churches they have there. One of those gentlemen was Ray, and another person was this chap here called Steve Oliver. Now, Steve Oliver is a South African, currently based in Dubai, and he had been around New Frontiers for many years. He'd learned from Terry Virgo, from Dave Devnish, from Simon Pettit, and he had experienced pioneering church planting as he was led by God. And when he was with us last year, he did tell us some of these stories. If you remember, when he first started going to start his church, God spoke to him and said, "I will send you 500 people." Now, this place he was is a rural town, but he was in a farm about 20-minute drive out of this small town. And he's starting a church there, and God says, "I will bring you 500 people." You look from his farm, you don't see anything around there where people are living. On that first Sunday, 550 people came, and 64 people were saved on that very first Sunday. And that started a church in Clarence, South Africa. And God had spoken to Steve about the daisies of Africa. Go to the daisies of Africa, the poor people of Africa. And in recent months, we've got to hear his story. We've got to get to know him a little better. And 18 months ago, both Ray and Steve brought their two teams together to form what we're now calling Regions Beyond. And these two teams coming together, they involve about 90 churches across 5 continents, and there are 16 churches in the UK. So we are a Regions Beyond church. Our nearest other church is in Selby in Yorkshire. So that's led by Dave Ward, and we've seen Dave at a number of events and look to in future months as well. And there are a couple of things that I picked up when we were at the Master Builders Conference in Clarence, which I've already mentioned about what an apostle does, the gifting an apostle has. But there are a couple of things that really kind of caught my attention connecting with Steve and with Ray. And that is the remembrance of the poor and planting churches both here and, if I can use the phrase, regions beyond as well. The first one was remembering the poor. Steve had such a passion to honour and to love the poor. And as we sit here today, we might kind of think to ourselves, oh, well, I'm rich or I'm poor. But Steve has got a very different perspective. And as you get to see the whole world more and more, you just realise how rich we are in the UK. And he used this phrase that if, when you go home today and you have a choice over what you eat, you are rich. You are rich if you have a choice over what you eat. And he knows the poor in his church may be going home and there's one thing. They don't have that choice. And the churches who are rich are able to support the churches who are poor. We can give out of the generosity we have here, the riches we have here, we can share that with others so that nobody is in need. At one point during the worship time, we took up an offering which was going to go to church planting and to help transport people to a conference. And Steve said, I want everybody to give. So we're going to take up this offering. Put your hand up if you have nothing to put in the offering. I'm going, What's going on here? Because we don't do this sort of thing. I'm British, you know. So people put their hands up who had nothing to put into the offering. And Steve then said to everyone else, you see those hands up, go and give your money to those people so that they have the dignity of putting something into the offering. Absolutely fantastic. Giving dignity to the poor. And he had a number of people there who were part of the church, leading the church. There's a lady, a fantastic lady, who preached one of the main sessions, and they have come from the township just across the road from where the church meets. And Steve has nurtured them and given them dignity, honour, experience and opportunity. And now they're preaching at an international conference, and they've come from the township just across the road. Fantastic thing, inclusive and encouraging people to move into all that God has for them. And whilst in Clarence, we had three mornings of prayer before the conference actually started. And one morning, Steve told us of a prophetic word that he had many years ago, where Clarence would be the hub of a wheel and the spokes of the wheel would be different nations going around the world. Now, Clarence is an extremely small, insignificant place. It's more insignificant than Durham. Okay. So, to have that word 15 years ago or so was quite an amazing thing. But there we were, gathered from many, many nations for this conference around him. And Steve led us in a prayer time where we were praying kind of around the compass points, praying for different churches that were involved in regions beyond, praying for situations, for people, for circumstances, and praying into them from this small town in South Africa, and going around the world praying for these things, seeing this army of churches under Steve's leadership, Steve Ray's leadership as regions beyond, at how we're moving forward together. It was such a powerful time. And we too, as a community here, we have that in our heart. We have that desire to go to nations. It was 20 years ago that we first went to Albania, coming from a prophetic word that was given to the church to look to the nations. It's actually written on the floor somewhere down here. God said, look to the nations and I will give you Durham. And we were doing that work. I'm sure I'd not heard of the word church planting at that stage. But we were doing that work. It's in our DNA as a community here. And now we're joining together with a group of similar-minded churches who are looking to the nations, looking to see the gospel break into different things. And it's fantastic. We have Ali and Dan currently in India, serving alongside three Regions Beyond churches, preaching and teaching into those places. And we are with them. That they are, because they're part of us, we are with them in their success as they do that work, which is a great thing to realize. Later on, we were praying for a church plant, and Steve thanked us because he became a Christian and was realizing that people planted a church that led to him becoming a Christian. And he thanked us that we are willing to do that, to plant a church to do that. And as we looked what God has in store for us in Usher Moor, in Chester Street, in Tokyo, there will be people who in the coming months will be grateful for our sacrifice and our faith and our obedience, because they will now know God because a church has been established in their town. And who knows what gifts are locked up at the moment in those people that God has put there and just need that release to come and to bring God's grace there. So the great news is we are not on our own. God is with us. He has also gifted people to help us become more like Jesus to fulfill his mission here on earth. One that we all have a part to play in. Steve's vision is for churches, not just leaders, to be mobilized in the apostolic mission to change the face of Christianity around the world. And we all have that invitation to be together on mission and to be caught up in that apostolic passion to influence the world for Jesus, to work together as the people of God, the body of Christ under Jesus our head, to be mindful of each other, celebrating each other's success. So I want to encourage you to see as much as you can to link up and hear what Regions Beyond are doing and what they're involved with. Their website, the web address is there. That's a kind of a screenshot of what the website looks like. It's great if you can kind of bookmark that, go back to that. I must confess, it's a work in progress. It's a reasonably new group, and they haven't quite exactly sorted out all their admin yet, but it's getting there. And they have a Facebook page as well, and we are looking to really promote more and more and get stories back from churches so that we could be joining with churches across the world in their mission together. Shall we pray? Jesus, we thank you that you are our great apostle, that you have been sent by God on mission to rescue the world. And we thank you that you have rescued us, and that offer is open to anybody this morning. And Father, we pray that you may expand our vision, that we may be caught up in the apostolic mission of God and excited over what you are doing across the world. Father, I pray against any small-mindedness, any kind of just focusing on me and mine, but looking into the generosity of God and expand our vision. And see our role as individuals and a church as we are part of this great apostolic mission. We ask that in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Now, I realize Ephesians 4, I focused exclusively on the apostolic this morning. But just to remind you, the next in the list was the prophetic. And we are so blessed this week to have Mark DuPont with us. Mark DuPont has a worldwide ministry as a prophet. He has been with us many years in the past. He always has a big impact in the church with a healing ministry, prophetic ministry, and a great teacher as well. And what often happens is that people come along perhaps on the Saturday or the Sunday and they think, oh, I've heard it so many times, I wished I'd come along on the earlier sessions as well. Okay, he's meeting Thursday and Friday evenings as well. So please try and make an opportunity to get there for those meetings, because each one is an opportunity for you to meet with God through this gift that God has given us as a community here. So the Thursday and Friday nights, they start at 7 o'clock, at 7 o'clock Thursday and Friday. The Saturday is 10 till 4. Please bring a packed lunch. We do have drinks provided. And then on the Sunday, we're switching to our different meeting structure for 3 weeks. So 10:30 in the morning, we've got Ray Lowe and Tyra coming to eldership. And then 4 o'clock in the afternoon is Mark DuPont's final session. So please, can I encourage you, make every effort to be on Thursday. It'll be a great evening. Have a great week. God bless you. And tea and coffee will be served outside. That wasn't noticed, was it?
That was an announcement.
Yes.